Spooky here, welcome you out to Spook Trail Haunted Maze. Spook Trail 269. Spook Trail!
Spook Trail Haunted Maze is one of Alabama's longest haunts, founded in 1989 and has been running strong since then. Over a quarter mile long outdoor maze in the woods through an old junkyard through twists and turns into the darkness. If you are looking for an extreme adventure into some of the darkest areas of your mind, then this is the place for you. Due to the nature of their paths, you will be entering at your own risk. Look up Spook Trail Haunted Maze on Facebook to see what days are going to be open. Just minutes from Birmingham and Jasper in Quinton, Alabama. And remember,
Spook Trail!
It is time for the Mississippi State and Florida Preview Show right here on the Stingray Show. The Bulldogs are coming into this ball game off of a much-needed bye week, and Florida comes in off of a loss to Texas A&M. Mississippi State has not beaten Florida since 2010, and that was the last time that Mississippi State played Florida in Gainesville. Florida has won two in a row against Mississippi State, both of those games in Starkville, 2018, and last year in 2024. We are going to be joined by Graham Hall of 247 Sports The Gators and by Steve Robertson, host of The Boneyard and Jeans Page, to get a preview of Mississippi State and Florida right now on this edition of the Stingray Show. And we have a local advertiser joining us right after this open.
Hi, this is Tim Brando with a reminder. Those of you on Tide 100.9, look out. You're about to feel the buzz of Stingray.
This is Stephen Ray, a.k.a. Stingray, coming to you live from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I'm Heath Hopkins. I'm here in DeSoto County, Mississippi, right outside of Memphis, Tennessee.
You know, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you feel that responsibility to pay it forward and give some kid a chance coming up in the ranks, kind of like Tony did for you?
Why do you think I'm talking to Stingray tonight?
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Heath, Stingray, Here's the deal. When you get involved with Texas, it's like getting married to a stripper. and let me explain this. It looks good, kind of sexy on the surface. Yeah, but then you get the baggage, you get the drama, you get all that eventually comes with it. And that's what you get with Texas, and that's what the Big 12 learned.
And Heath, any thoughts on our show moving forward?
Hey, to everyone in Tuscaloosa listening here on Tide 100.9, with the Stingray Show, if you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the best show going today, baby. Woo!
As you guys have been hearing on the radio here about the past month, I have been conducting an advertising for Spook Trail Haunted Maze, which is up in Quinton, Alabama. And I am really glad to be joined by the owner of Spook Trail right here to talk about some of the ins and outs of Spook Trail and how it all got started, because Spook Trail began back in 1989 and it is still running strong. Please help me welcome to the Stingray Show, Spook himself. Spook, how are things with you this evening?
Everything is wonderful out here in the spooky land, and we're waiting for everyone to come so we can lay the boo down on everyone, yeah.
So, Spook, how did the opportunity for Spook Trail come about?
Well, what happened was a long time ago. It was actually the same year that not only that I graduated high school, but I also went through the slaughterhouse, haunted house down in Gordo. Yeah, it was Gordo, down right down the road from you a bit. We had also went to the Birmingham JC's back when he used to be around. Yeah, and we said, I can do this. So we got us a little piece of my dad's property and ran some lights and just got out there and had fun. And we've been having fun ever since. Yeah.
All right. So give us a little bit of a tour of what we can expect if people are going to come to Spook Trail Haunted Maze.
You can expect the unexpected. It ain't like a haunt you've been to, I can assure you that. At least that's what they all be saying. Oh, yeah, it's twists, turns, it's darkness. It's a maze. It's a quarter-long maze, quarter-long mile maze through the woods in an old junkyard. And, yes, we do try to scare you.
So, Spook, I do have to ask you, how long does it take you guys to get ready to scare people every season?
It's a never-ending process. It never with you. And outdoor haunts are different than indoor haunts because we get the elements and we're always working on it. Mother Nature, she does a number on an outdoor haunt, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. So talk a little bit about the pricing and especially the non-profit organization that you help with.
Our pricing is $20 each, $15 with the canned food item. You must have at least one canned food item per person to receive the discount. Yeah, we've got children's prices. They are $15 each, yeah, or $10 each with a canned food item. You must have at least one canned food item per person to receive the discount there. our canned foods are donated to, I apologize there, excuse me, I got sidetracked, and if I don't keep it fresh on my mind, the bats just fluttering all around, and I'll start talking about something we don't even need to be talking about. What was we talking about?
The nonprofit.
Yeah. Okay, now our canned foods, they go to a local canned food drive. Also, we've three hots and a cot. Our shirt sales go to them, and we do things to try to help out where we can. We're not a big organization. If you're looking for a big fancy haunt, you ain't looking for us. We're out to scare you. The whole atmosphere alone, just getting out there. The community is called Pumpkin Center in Quinton, Alabama, located in between Birmingham and Jasper, nearly dead in the middle, mile marker 24.
So, Spook, I do want to also ask you, tell everybody about what y'all are doing special on Sunday evenings with Ozzy Osbourne, please.
Oh, this is our funnest yet. Yes. Now we do a scare or no scare on Sundays for younger kids and for adults that they want to go through a haunted house, but they don't want to get scared. And hey, it's an introduction to get them used to it. Maybe later on they'd come through it and enjoy it a little more. So, Now that there is it's a behind the scenes look tour of the haunt, just like it would be, except ain't nobody trying to scare you and make you wet yourself. And our way to say thanks to the great entertainer, Ozzy Osbourne. We put on a tribute that we think everybody would like. It's a must-see, so they say. Y'all just need to come out and check it out. You never know what you're going to see down there at Spook Trail.
So, Spook, I do want to ask you, what are some of your favorite scary movies?
Actually, man, there's so many. There are so many out there, and I think really just to pick them apart. I mean, of course, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre and all the originals, and even the black and whites and all that. I mean, there's too damn many. There's a lot of them. I love the damn Sharknadoes. I mean, that's almost real. You could almost see it nowadays. Wouldn't shock me a damn bit.
That's funny, man. That's awesome. You got that right. So, Spook, any final thing that you would like to say to our audience to get people to come to Quinton, Alabama, to Spook Trail Haunted Maze?
You like haunted houses? You like being scared? You need to come on out to Spook Trail Haunted Maze. Get your boo on, boy.
And Spook, are there any kind of special themes that y'all have this year, like in the maze? Do y'all do themes every year, or is it just the same thing every year?
Well, it's not the same thing every year. The twists and turns turn, and our darkness is darkness, and you know how that is. It changes. It ain't always the same. You know, it's like life. Some things are the same, some things change. You never know what you're going to get when you come out to Spook Trail Haunted Maze of Monsters and Mayhem.
So I've got one final question for you. Please let everybody know here the hours of operation if people want to come to Spook Trail Haunted Maze and where they can find information about Spook Trail.
You can Google us, Spook Trail, one word. We're on Facebook, Spook Trail, or Spook Trail Haunted Maze, Spook Trail, one word. Let's see, also, it was something real good that you just asked, and the damn bass got in my brain, and here we go. Yeah, okay, 7:30 to 12 Friday and Saturday nights. And six-ish, you know, or so for the no scare. Sunday till we say 10, but y'all need to get there. I'll be honest, we won't out of there at 10 on Sundays. We stay there till the line is gone. Don't get us wrong. Don't get me wrong. It's all about the entertainment. It's all about you. We do everything we do for you.
And Spook, also the week of Halloween, you guys are going to be open all week long, correct?
That is correct. That is what they call Hell Week, and oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. We're going to give it trail that week.
So, Spook, I am really looking forward to coming up there and seeing what it is all about. Thank you so much for your time, and tell our listeners one more time why they need to come to Spook Trail Haunted Maze.
You want the boo? We got the boo. Yeah!
Man, thank you. This has been awesome, and we will catch up with you next time, okay?
Thank you now. Thank you. I appreciate your time, and roll tide.
All right, man. Thank you.
Take care. Appreciate you.
Guys, I really don't know how to top that. I really do want to thank Spook for joining me there. And I guess if you want to get your boo on, go to Spook Trail Haunted Maze. When the Stingray Show returns, we are going to be talking about college football and the matchup between Mississippi State and Florida. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. Be back in a flash. It's college football season, and what goes well with college football events? And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let Certified Chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. How would you like to live where you love in the state of Alabama? Whether it is your upsizing, downsizing, retiring at the beach, or relocating for your job, then you are going to want to contact Celeste Hagler, owner of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, with brokers in Tuscaloosa, Orange Beach, and Huntsville. They can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Once again, that is 205-861-5698, and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals anywhere across the state of Alabama. For over 100 years, the Bank of Moundville has been a name clients can trust. The Bank of Moundville is more than just a bank. They're your neighbors, your friends, and your community partners. Their unique approach to financial education has always centered around families. They believe that financially strong homes today lay the foundation for a brighter futures for tomorrow's generation. You can call them today at 205-371-2227. Once again, that is 371-2227. To schedule an appointment to build your financial security, the Bank of Moundville is a member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. And we've got some slowing due to an accident at the 2059 eastbound at University Boulevard. And on I-20 heading from 359 to Cottondale, it's about a 15-minute delay. Also, watch for slowing on northbound Highway 69. From McFarland to Mitlary Road, it's an 11-minute drive. Watch for an accident south on 15th Street before McFarland. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
The best station in the state, breaking down Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. We are doing a preview of Mississippi State and the Florida Gators, as this is the homecoming matchup for the Florida Gators in Gainesville. And Florida has beaten Mississippi State the last two times they have played, both in 2018 and last year in 2024. The last Mississippi State win, oddly enough, was in 2010 down in Gainesville, Florida. To break this game down from the Florida side, here is Graham Hall of 247 Sports, the Gators. Graham, how were things with you in Gainesville, Florida? And here we go again. Billy Napier knocked off Texas. Everybody's feeling good. Then they go on the road and they lose a game to Texas A&M, and we're right back to square one.
Well, I'm doing great. The weather here is getting cooler. The humidity's going away. I got no complaints. It's starting to feel like fall on the few times we get seasons here in Gainesville. But the Florida football program, not a lot for people to feel good about. You know, Billy Napier had said before the Texas A&M game that he was hopeful the win over Texas would be a multiplier rather than a letdown for the Gators. It was not that. It started off promisingly. Florida looked really methodical on that first eight-play, 75-yard drive. But the defense, which has been so impressive this season, gives up a two-play, 75-yard drive, and all the momentum that you had just absolutely dissipated. The Gators did get an answer there, but were held after the first quarter to just a field goal. And we're once again sitting here talking about how long is Billy Napier going to last in Gainesville. I think the end is nigh, but we'll see how long this thing keeps on going.
Right. Graham, looking at this Florida team, going with the Texas win and then the A&M loss, I don't know enough about Florida this year. That's why you're here. That's why you're on the show. Is Florida a different team at home than they are on the road? Is that something that we can expect for the rest of the season? I don't know what to expect from this Florida team at all. They've been a little bit all over the place like they've been the last few years. Are they different at home?
Yeah, I think that most teams would say that they're better at home, right? The home field advantage is real. That's why fans spend their hard-earned money to show up. They know that they can make an impact on the games. That, you know, that's not just a, you know, catering to the masses or patting the fans on the back, whatever you want to call it. I mean, I absolutely think that an atmosphere like the Swamp, Ben Hill Griffin Stadium, just like Tiger Stadium at LSU, Kyle Field on Saturday at Texas A&M, that place was rocking. Yeah. You know, you guys have been up there. You know that press box sways whenever they play, you know, the Rebel Yell or whatever it's called. You know, it's real, absolutely. But with that said, you still have to be competitive on the road. You can't have a significant drop-off. And right. You certainly in this league, if you're going to achieve your goals, you're going to have to win some road games. After Saturday, Florida dropped to 0-14 on the road against ranked opponents under Billy Napier. That's just not good enough. He hasn't got a road win against SEC opponent that finished over 500 in a game. You know, they beat Mississippi State on the road last year. They were in it against Tennessee, went to overtime in that game after losing Graham Mertz.
Right.
You know, they beat Florida State on the road, but that was Florida State that went 2-10. You have to beat a ranked team on the road for people to see that you are able to compete away from Gainesville. You can't just circle those home games at the beginning of the year and sit here and say, hey, we're going to win all these games and we can achieve our goals. If that's the case, you're going 6-6 every year if you're Florida, because you're playing one game in Georgia every single year against a really, really good Georgia team for the last half decade. So you got to win on the road. Florida is definitely a team that has a lot to be left desired when they go on the road. They're better at home. You know, go back to the start of the Billy Napier era. It started very promisingly. Utah comes in, and Florida quarterback Anthony Richardson makes some great plays, and Florida gets a ranked win in Billy Napier's debut over a really, really good Utah team. A year later, they go to Utah, and it was far from what you saw in Gainesville here. And that has kind of been one of the pieces of evidence used against the Napier era of why this thing's not going to work out, because you have to win on the road in this league. And Florida has not been able to do that consistently and hasn't been able to do it at all against ranked opponents throughout Billy Napier's 3.5 years.
Very quick follow-up. What's the best road win Billy Napier's had since he's been at Florida?
Man.
It scares me that you don't know it off the top of your head. That tells me a lot about Billy Napier.
Can I say the Gasparilla Bowl? I mean,
true road game.
Last year, you know, a Tulane team that had so many opt-outs and, you know, had their own end-of-the-year issues, and Florida plays in Tampa, kind of like a home game, right? But a true road win, I mean, maybe Mississippi State last year. It's hard for me to think off the top of my head, and that's a Mississippi State team that what went 2-10 as well. It would have been Tennessee if Florida could have got the job done. That was one of Lagway's first games, one of his first road tests as well. You lose Graham Mertz, like I said, and Lagway got intercepted in the second half, which was critical. Florida couldn't kick a field goal in overtime. They couldn't get a stop. It would have been Tennessee if they had closed that game out, but there's no woulda, coulda, shoulda. There's no moral victories, like people say. So, man, I guess I'm saying the Gasparilla Bowl, or maybe I'm saying Mississippi State. There aren't that many of them, man. The list is not very long.
Wow.
Yep. I'm looking at the schedule right now, and the Phil Steele book, I can't find a win anywhere on the road against a ranked opponent. Nope, can't do it.
Steven, look at your book.
He fact-checked me.
He did. Steven turned into a fact-checker.
No, I appreciate it. You know, I don't want to spread any misinformation, but that's – and Billy Napier's aware of the record. I'm not saying anything that he doesn't know. He knows that they've fallen short on the road, and he knows that, with all that said, how important the fans are. And that's part of one of the things that goes into this equation, the fan support. If you start losing fan support at home,
yeah,
and the money stops coming in here, you know, that makes it really, really difficult to continue things. They say when you lose fans, you rarely win them back. And can it happen? Sure, you could turn everything around and win 6-8 games in a row, and people are going to start to have a little more optimism. But when you really, really lose a fan over an extended duration, it's tough to get them back.
Steven, real quick, looking at your book, what is the best win that you can see other than Mississippi State that Billy Napier's had on the road?
On the road, I don't see any.
True road game.
I really don't see any because they've all lost the ranked opponents.
But, I mean, was there a random win at Arkansas or Kentucky or something?
No. Okay. And I was going all the way back to 2020, so no.
Oh, you went to Mullen, huh? You went into Mullen. Yeah, no, it's you got to win on the road in this league.
And I defeated Dan Mullen, but we won't get into that.
Yeah, they don't want to hear that. And, you know, I think Dan Mullen's a funny guy. We'll see how long he lasts at UNLV before another job offer comes up that he likes. But
I'm sure Eli Drinkwitz is waiting to see what he's going to dress up for Halloween, though.
Hey, I kind of what we were talking about before this, man. Bring some fun back in.
Yes.
College football. You can do that stuff when you're winning, but you can't do, you know, you ever seen the clip of, you know, Dan Mullen smoking the cigar where he's asked where he got, I think, Nick Mullins from, and he goes, UT Chattanooga.
Yeah.
You can be cocky and arrogant like that, and people eat it up. But the minute you start losing, that stuff ages poorly, and people sit here and say, oh, he's a clown. They have every insult in the book for you when it doesn't look good, because then they start thinking you don't take your job seriously enough or you don't respect the opponent if you're dressing up after a win. You know, it's kind of like one of the breaking points for Dan Mullen, at least with a lot of the fans, was when the end of his tenure, Florida beat Sanford 70-52. And after the game, which was kind of embarrassing enough as it was, allowing 52 points, the most first half points the Gators have allowed in program history was to FCS Sanford, 42 points in the first half. After the game, Mullen, you know, everyone's got a phone these days, live streaming, going live on Instagram, and periscoping was a thing. Mullen is filmed dancing in the locker room after allowing 52 points to an FCS opponent, where people were sitting here saying, hey, this is, most other coaches would be sitting here admonishing the defense, saying this isn't what we're, you know, what we're built to do. This is not an impressive performance. We won this game because our offense hung 70 on the opponent. That was one of the final straws for people, where they were sitting here saying, all right, this thing is near its end.
Graham, we are up against another break. And Heath, I know that you have a question. We will get to that on the other side of this break. You're listening to The Stingray Show, and the Florida and Mississippi State interview will continue right after this. And Heath, you can actually bring us back.
No, I don't want to. Yeah, sure.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
He'll go on the toss to Jam. He cuts it back. He's got a first down.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide battle Tennessee on the third Saturday in October. Our coverage begins at 3:30 on your home for Alabama football. Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Ferguson of South's Finest Meats, the official sponsor of the Stingray Show, has a message for you.
Everything we do here is fresh and custom made, custom to order. You know, I tell people when they come in, you know, if you don't see what you like, ask somebody. You know, we've got the capability to process it, make it. You know, if you want a different blend of hamburger meat, we'll do your brisket blend. We'll do your chuck blend. We'll do your sirloin blend. You know, we do all that right here. We are a butcher shop. It's what we do. So please don't be afraid to ask if you don't see what you like. We can make you any size patty you want. We can make you any amount you want. You know, people come and say, well, how many patties come in the box? Ma'am, how many would you like in a box? You know, you want 12, we'll put 12. You want 25, we'll put 25.
That's just one of the many things that South's Finest Meats has to offer, the official butcher shop of the Stingray Show. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577, or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Follow the Crimson Tide on their journey to another national championship.
Touchdown, Alabama!
On your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back, SEC fans. You're listening to the Stingray Show here on Tide 100.9. Graham Hall covering the Florida Gators is our guest. We're talking about Florida-Mississippi State matchup that's going to happen this weekend. Graham, right before we went to break, you mentioned that you thought this was going to happen last year, Florida separating from Billy Napier, and it didn't. What is the one thing, or the few things, why it didn't happen last year? What did you hear, what do you know, since you're on the beat, why didn't this happen last year of Florida separating themselves from Billy Napier and going out and hiring a new head coach?
I think there's a couple factors you could point to. I'm of the belief personally that you had a coach come in and there have been so many changes in college athletics in the past 3 years. NIL, transfer portal has taken off. You know, it was 3 years ago that guys couldn't transfer and play immediately. You know, that's still a fairly new change in college athletics, but yet it feels like it's been here for 5-10 years now. That is absolutely a different aspect. NIL, collectives, you know, firing a coach before the end of year three with all the changes going on doesn't feel like enough time in my mind. Even if you could sit there and say, look at the sample size, look at the 500 record, this is clearly not trending in the right direction. And Florida fans have pointed to the Jeremy Foley statement after the Ron Zook firing that if you know you're going to make a change, do it immediately. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's as relevant anymore because most of these conversations with coaches are happening through back channels. And until 2 weeks ago, so going back to last year, if you fired a coach, the portal opens up for 30 days. So you're setting your next coach back. Even it's going to be harder for the next coach to retain the roster, to retain players like DJ Lagway and Eugene Wilson and Miles Graham and Aaron Childs, the impressive young guys on Florida's roster. So I think that's a factor of it. And then when you have all these resources invested in players, it's not just paying the buyout for a coach. You could be, in a sense, have wasted the money that your collectives use to bring in players. So it's a little bit more expensive than people sit here and say, oh, they got to pay a $27 million buyout or now a $19.38 million buyout. It's more than that. Now that rule has changed where the portal's not going to open when a coach gets fired. It's going to happen 5 days after the new coach is hired and it's 15 days. So that's a notable change that has happened, which has made it so that not firing Billy Napier has aged gracefully, in my opinion, when it comes to setting you up for the next coach, retaining players on the roster. I also think it's appealing if you're an athletic program to give a coach 3+ years because the next coaches are watching that. This is a fraternity. They're seeing like, hey, Florida's going to, if I don't have the results, you know, 2 years and 3 games into the season, I could be on the chopping block. It's my reputation. You get one reputation in this life. It could be me who people are admonishing and criticizing, and I could limit myself for future jobs. That's something that programs have to think about because you want to be appealing to another coach. Yeah. So I think those factors as well, but probably the most significant one is aside from the 4-game win streak to end the year, which certainly gave him some goodwill and got Florida to a bowl game and you know, the biggest one is that the team didn't quit on Billy.
Right.
And when you lose the team, it's over. I mean, just like losing the fans, when you lose the team, when they're not fighting for you, when they're quitting on you as a coach, you see the writing on the wall. And to Florida's credit, to Napier's credit, to his coaching staff's credit, these guys didn't fracture. They didn't point fingers. They didn't blame each other. They didn't opt out. I mean, you see other programs that in October, if, you know, they're 1-3, players start looking at the future. They start, you know, looking at that red shirt as being appealing. They're starting to reach out to their representative and say, hey, where can I go next? That didn't happen for Florida. So the combination of all those factors is why 3 years made a ton of sense. But right. You've seen enough sample size now. You're seeing issues once again. And Florida is now off to the worst start in the Napier era, sitting at 2-4 heading into this game. And precedent makes it difficult to overcome Florida's current circumstances. Could they, in theory, go on a run and win the final six games and get to 8-4 and have the best regular season finish in Florida program and Billy Napier's history at Florida? Absolutely. Do I think it'll happen? No. And I think that Florida understands that, and that a change is going to be on the horizon in the near future because of that.
When we get into the X's and O's of Saturday's game at 3:15 Central, where are you most concerned that a rested Mississippi State team that is coming off of a bye week can take advantage of Florida?
Yeah, I think that for Florida, limiting Mississippi State's offense is going to be key. You know, they're going to have a better start. They can't give up explosives. They have to communicate well and really use the crowd to their advantage. I think there's the intangible factor, too, of like two teams that are heading in different directions. Mississippi State is trending up. The program is hungry for success. They're looking to build towards year three and take it to the next level here. And Florida's players may see the writing on the wall, realize that they have no chance pretty much of making the college football playoff. If you go to ESPN's FPI, they got a 0.1% chance of winning the SEC. It's kind of like that meme from, you know, Dumb and Dumber. So you're telling me there's a chance? What are the odds it happens, right? So they may see the writing on the wall, be demoralized, and not play to the effort level and the competitive nature that is required to win in the SEC on a weekly basis. But their offense with Blake Shapen is much better. They're good on the ground. They've got weapons at the skill positions. I think that this is going to be a little bit of a high-scoring game, honestly, on Saturday. I think that DJ Lagway is going to come out, look effective through the air, connect on some throws that we hadn't seen him make the first 3 weeks of the season. But I do think that Florida is going to give up some points to this Mississippi State offense, and you're going to have a little bit of a higher-scoring game than you would tend to think in the SEC. So that factor alone, Blake Shapen and their offense is really intriguing and can be difficult to plan for and can catch you off guard in a lot of ways. So Florida's going to have to be on their P's and Q's, and I think it starts with stopping Mississippi State's offense.
Graham, look, man, thank you as always. I know that you have got to get to another show, so we will let you go. Good luck to the Gators this weekend. Catch up with you later on, and hopefully when we talk with you next week, we won't be talking about Billy Napier being on the chopping block.
We'll see what happens. It's always a pleasure to join you guys. It's always a blessing to watch football on Saturdays. I'm blessed to do it for a living. Looking forward to what should be a good game on Saturday. Talk to you guys next week for sure.
Thank you.
Brother, be good. And have fun at that funeral, Graham.
I will. I will. Y'all take care out there.
All right. All right.
Oh, and for everyone listening, Graham made a joke. He's wearing all black. You couldn't see him. I know it's the radio. But he made a joke that he was going to a funeral. He's not going to a funeral. It was a morbid joke. We all laughed. Lighten up. If you came here to be serious, you're at the wrong station.
Wow. So, Heath, that is going to wrap up the Florida side of this matchup. On deck, behind the scenes, waiting to join us, is Steve Robertson, host of The Boneyard and owner of Gene's Page over in Starkville, to cover Mississippi State in this matchup with the Florida Gators. Steve Robertson on deck with us right after this.
Maybe he's going to a Johnny Cash concert. tribute concert.
Has it always been your dream to build the pond of your dreams, but you don't know if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond on? You need to contact Honey Hole Fisheries right here in Tuscaloosa County, because Jeff Bagwell will help you decide if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond. You can contact Honey Hole Fisheries at 205-799-0192. Once again, that is 799-0192. And hey, Jeff Bagwell can also order top quality automatic fish and hunting feeders for all of your outdoor recreation. Contact Jeff Bagwell today, once again at 205-799-0192, to help you build the pond or lake of your dreams. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577, or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Hey, this is why.
The best sports talk in the state, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. We just finished up with the Florida Gators and Billy Napier in the matchup with Mississippi State. And now let's turn our attention to the rested Mississippi State Bulldogs, who were coming off of a much-needed bye week after two losses to Texas A&M, and before that, the Tennessee Volunteers. So to do a preview of Mississippi State in this matchup, here is Steve Robertson, host of the podcast The Boneyard and owner of Jeans Page in Starkville, Mississippi, to cover the Bulldogs. Steve, how are things with you in Starkville, and what is the latest on the injury information on the running back for Mississippi State, Fluff?
Well, the first thing I'll say is I don't feel as well rested as I thought I would feel after an open date. I do love watching college football, and that's the thing that I think a lot of people forget. We're fans of the game. And when there is an open date, you get to sit home. What a great weekend we had last weekend in a Southeastern Conference. So it's a great time for State to have an open day for all of us, but more importantly for Mississippi State. It's a little bit beat up, you know, and Albert Reese, of course, missed the game against A&M. There is some optimism that he could play. A lot of that's going to depend on how things go in the end of the week. Isaac Smith didn't play. But Alabama bounced back. Tony Mitchell had a really good game for Mississippi State. His best game as a Bulldog, without any question. So I think that gives you a little bit of cover if you need to hold Smith out for another week. And then Fluff Bothwell's not going to play this week. And that's really not a surprise to anybody.
Okay.
He said, Lebby, on Monday that he was doubtful. He's out. Okay. He's not going to play. We'll see how he looks next week.
Okay.
But it's not a season-ending deal, but there's not a firm timeline for a return. But Davin Booth obviously was the featured back last year and had his breakout game against Florida last year in the loss in Starkville. So, and then Xavier Gayton's a guy, too, that they're really high on. So I don't think that you're going to see a huge step back in the running game against Florida on the Mississippi State side. You'd love to have Fluff, but you've got some depth, probably the deepest room on the roster.
Looking at Mississippi State and the bye week, besides the injuries, what else did Mississippi State need to do to get ready for the back half of that stretch of this season during that bye week?
Well, mainly settle the offensive line. You know, that's really the main thing there, is settle the offensive line. We felt like with so many pieces coming back, because people forget this. I mean, you know, you had Cannon Boone started last year, tore the ACL against Arkansas. Luke Work was a freshman, played admirably at left tackle last year. Jacoby Jackson's back this year. And then, of course, Albert Reese. So you return four guys with a lot of SEC snaps under their belt. And then you went in the portal and feel like you've upgraded your talent. And Zach Owens, I think, has probably been State's most consistent lineman this year, transferred in from Colorado. He was a Phil Lowell project last year in Boulder, and he's done some good things. And so it's been a little bit of a surprise, I guess, that this offensive line hasn't been better, but injuries have played a big factor. I mean, you know, Timothy Lewis gets hurt against Southern Miss, misses the next week. Javen James, a guy they signed kind of hoping to redshirt, ends up playing every snap against Arizona State in a win. So it's just, you never know from one week to the next, you know, what you're going to have on the offensive line. And I think having 2 weeks to just kind of settle that down is helpful. And Brennan Thompson was a guy that got a little bit banged up earlier. He's back to 100%. You know, people say he's the fastest guy in college football. If you've noticed, State is going with some seven-man protection and just kind of sent him on the fade and just throw it as far as you can, hope he can run under it. And that's been successful sometimes too. So I think that's an aspect too with Mississippi State. You've got to be able to hit some shots early to kind of soften up this Florida defense.
Steve, fun question for you. And yes, I'm asking you to predict the future. Six games left for Mississippi State, three on the road, three at home. They're sitting at four wins right now. You're at Florida, Texas at home, at Arkansas, Georgia at home, at Missouri, and then the Egg Bowl with Ole Miss at home. Can Mississippi State get two more wins to close out the season?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, again, you never know what teams are going to look like when you play them, right?
Correct.
But I think if you look at the teams that are coming to Starkville, right, I think all those games are winnable in some respect, with the exception of Georgia. I think Georgia is much more talented than Mississippi State. But Texas has been very, very heckle and Jekyll this year, right? And how's Arch Manning going to handle it? Because you know he's going to have people in the family texting and calling them, oh, you got to win this game, you know. We've talked about on this show before. I mean, the expectations put on that young man's shoulders are just ridiculous. I mean, you just got to let him be himself and let him figure this thing out. And he will. Obviously, a big win against Oklahoma. State's actually done pretty well against the running quarterback this year. I think that game is winnable, and certainly the Egg Bowl is always a toss-up game.
So, Steve, how do you see it playing out on Saturday at 3:15 Central? It is Mississippi State, and it is Florida, and Mississippi State has not won in Gainesville since 2010. Your thoughts and prediction?
Well, we hadn't played there since 2010 either, if memory serves me correct. I mean, this is one of those crazy SEC snafus in the schedule. I mean, you know, it's like that State and Florida play each other so irregularly. But, you know, I think right now I would favor Florida in a close one. I like State to cover. But who knows what the headlines are going to read between now and game day? You know, there's discussion out there that Billy Napier is going to get fired on Sunday, win or lose, you know. And so how much of that is a factor? You know, if you're a Mississippi State guy, and I am, you love the distraction, right? Because I don't know if Napier has anything, other media opportunities later in the week. But the fact that that's in the wind, and people say, well, you know, players delete social media. Players know what's being reported and said. They know. And so that could be a huge factor. And listen, I don't buy into this whole homecoming thing. I don't buy into that at all. I don't think that has any influence on the players at all. I think that's just something that we like to talk about in the media. I can't remember the last time that we tracked homecoming wins and losses at Mississippi State. It just doesn't matter.
Right.
What's happening within the totality of that Florida program is what is on the minds of these players. Now, if they find out their coach is going to get fired regardless, how motivated are they going to be able to play? You know, that's the thing that I think about. And anytime that there is a distraction for your opponent, a lot of times there is the tightening of the game. So I won't be surprised if State wins this football game, but I'm not expecting it today.
Steve, look, man, as always, this has been a wonderful interview with you. Please go to Gainesville and enjoy the ball game for all of us. Hail State this weekend. Hopefully we can croom, as we like to say, Billy Napier, because, you know, Mississippi State has that a track record of getting coaches fired, and we will catch up with you next week, okay?
I look forward to it. As a matter of fact, I'm heading down to Theodore, Alabama on Friday night. I'm going to run by the shed and get some barbecue and go cover a great high school football game, and then we'll push on to Gainesville.
Hey, Steve, Xavier Gayton, we're going to see more touches out of him this weekend?
Yeah, I think you have to. I really do. And I think that's a good thing for Mississippi State, too. And that he's kind of an unknown element for the opponents. But, yeah, he's a guy that's going to have to carry the mail some this week.
There you go.
Steve, thank you. Be safe. Going to Gainesville. Catch up with you later on.
See you guys.
Take care, Steve.
All right. So, Heath, that is going to wrap up Steve Robertson, host of The Boneyard. Really do want to thank him for joining us to give us insight on everything. And, Heath, tomorrow evening, the Stingray Show has no show, oddly enough, on Thursday evening, because we are in the middle of college football season. It is the third Saturday in October, and stupid basketball is being played and aired, so we will not be having a show. That's so crazy, man, that we were in the heart of the college football season and somebody wants to run basketball.
You call it stupid man. Basketball. Is Come that a league? On, is that like pro basketball? Is that...
Come on, man. I mean
basketball. We failed the test, so we have to play on the stupid team in the stupid league and play stupid basketball. Steven, man, why you gotta hate on basketball?
Dude, that's for November, December, January, February, March, and April. Come on now.
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. But, yeah, stupid basketball. No. No, man.
I mean, seriously, man, this is the heart of college football with the third Saturday in October of Tennessee, Alabama, and we're having to resort to basketball. Come on now.
I am with you. I know that basketball, some people love it dearly. But the rest of us love football.
Correct. And, amen to that.
But I do understand. And there's bills to be paid and there's agreements being made and we're not in those conversations. But, yeah, it is what it is. I'll say this. I don't dislike basketball, but I usually don't start paying attention to it until like the week of Thanksgiving. Like, hey, basketball starts or basketball's been going on. Let's check in with everybody because after this weekend – I got to be ready for basketball. Yeah, I usually wait till like the third week of November before I start even looking at basketball.
Amen to that. So we will catch you on the Friday evening edition of the Stingray Show. Basketball takes precedence over the Stingray Show on Thursday evening. So we will be back on Friday with a preview of Arkansas and Texas A&M. And that game is on campus for the first time in a long time, as it is no longer in Jerry's World, the Cowboys Stadium. So we will be previewing the Aggies and the Hogs of Arkansas when we return on Friday evening at 6 p.m. And we will catch you then.
That's a terrible decision, by the way. That game should stay in Jerry's World in Dallas.
And we will discuss that in its entirety on Friday evening.
You can disagree with me, but you're going to be wrong.